This is RSBB Update episode 429, recorded Friday, September 6, 2013, The Exploding Baby. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this episode of RSBNB Update. Just us two normal folk here this week.
You call us normal?
Yeah, of course we're normal. Mr. J1, J2, J3 on RS.
Hi, Giles.
Did you just say Giles?
Combination of guys and gals.
I guess that works.
That should be a new English word.
Sure.
We're going to modernize English language.
Yeah, I'm sure you could get that in the dictionary, given some of the other things that have gone in the dictionary in the past couple years, you know, like, a couple, it was something. No, not that. It was something the internet coined.
YOLO.
I don't know. Yes, I think that was last year's word in the dictionary. So
that should be banned.
But yes, it should. Anyways, and Shane12088 as well. So, little RS update this week. The update we were expecting the previous week has arrived, and that is the Solomon's General Store merger with the Loyalty Store. Basically, now it means that you're going to be able to take your loyalty points that you built up over so long, and then spend these points on things that you used to have to spend rune coins on. So that's pretty much all this update is this week. Along with allowing you to purchase those, it also modernized the storefront, so it looks and performs a bit better, in my opinion, from the usability perspective. I mean, it's not as cumbersome as it was before, knowing what you were going to buy and what you were not going to buy. And it's also a very good account hub to see how long you've been subscribed as a member for. So, for example, I currently have been subscribed for 2 years and 3 months, which is the maximum you can get because that is when they started the loyalty store. Then shows you what your next reward is going to be. And we're up to 30,000 loyalty points per month now, just because of the cumulative membership and being subscribed for so long. So it's nice to have a little boost with that. But also with this update, there are new milestone rewards for each year. So if you've been a member for 1 year or 2 years, you'll get a little crown. You can go talk to Diango in Drainer Village to claim this crown, and it's a 1 year and a 2 year crown, respectively. It's not that much, but I guess you could wear it if you want to show that you've been subscribed to RS since the loyalty program began. So,
really want to show off your age in the game, bring some bunny ears and a scythe.
Oh, I want those.
You want the bunny ears?
Yeah, those are I missed out on the bunny ears and the scythe. And two that I want to get back.
Yeah, I missed out on the bunny ears because I was out the whole day, and you know, I'm Western Standard Time. Basically, by the time I got back, it was already more than 24 hours. To get the scythe, I remember waking up around 6 o'clock before I headed to class to get it.
All right. So, anyways, let's just go through some of the other things with this. Players who subscribe for several months in a row now receive bonus loyalty points. So that's what I was referring to with my 30,000 a month now, which is very generous when you think about it. That means over the course of a year, you can earn roughly 360,000 worth, which is pretty good. So there's that. I think the loyalty points are always one of the best additions to the game, given what you can purchase with the auras and whatnot. Unfortunately for you, there's no update to the knockout aura in this update.
Figures.
Yeah. But there are some interesting things with what happened with this update. For instance, as an example, the newest items on Solomon's store are not purchasable with loyalty points. So, for example, the jelly and the jelly treat pack, those are only purchasable with rune coins for 308 rune coins. Same thing goes for the growth surge and the pets that you can get from the Battle of Lumbridge. Same with the Virago pet as well. So these can still only be purchased with rune coins, and I'm guessing that's because they're relatively new, and it makes sense that that they want to have that as limited to those who actually invest in this upfront rather than over time, the same way us members do. But if, for example, you go to the animations tab, then the skill animations, and you move on to some of the earlier ones, you can purchase, for example, the explosive fire making for 68,480, mining for 66,560. So you can see they're divided up based on how new they are and when they came out. Because some of the ones from last year, late last year, like the arcane resting and arcane fishing, and strong arm ones, those are still only available for rune coins. So it goes based on time, it seems, or potentially something else. Now, one thing to note is that auras are not purchasable with rune coins. I mean, with the loyalty points, which makes sense. I mean, they're not purchasable with the rune coins. They're only purchasable with the loyalty points as they were before. Kind of got my tenses mixed up there, but it makes sense they did that, I think.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't want somebody to be able to purchase something like the Aegis or Green Fingers or Supreme Revenant's aura just up front, because those actually require a great amount of time put into the game. So I think it's good they kept it like that. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, wasn't really stopping. If they really released it where you could buy it with rune coins, but someone would just buy all of them really quick for about, $20, give or take.
Yeah, and that's
maybe 50 if they were kind of greedy.
Yeah, and that's why you want to kind of limit that, because those ones actually give an advantage in the game where most of the other things are just cosmetic based. And then, All right, so there's that. Also, the thing that everybody has been waiting for, the bank boosters. Now, this is something I wanted to talk about price disparity here. So, get your calculator out.
Okay.
You have to pay 208,800 loyalty points for a bank booster, or 378 rune coins. So go 208,000 divided by 378.
208,000
divided by 378.
Okay. 378. Okay.
All right. And what does that give you?
Big number.
Well, what is it?
Hold on. Math is wrong. 208,000? Let's see.
Yep.
Okay. That's why I did it wrong. 378.
578. Okay, so 550 loyalty points per rune coin then. So that's only for the bank booster. This is not a constant conversion value. Because if you take something like a title, like the Adorable title, which is 9,600 loyalty points, and divided by its 54 rune coins, that's only 177 rune coins per loyalty point, which is... 177 loyalty points per rune coin is kind of lower, but that's an emote. I just kind of wish there was a constant conversion rate for the rune coins to loyalty point conversion.
Hmm.
Because that's a pretty big price gap, if you ask me.
Well, what has more benefit in the game, be able to flap your arms or getting more space in your bank?
I'd say being able to get more space in your bank.
You know, bank space is at a premium. I mean, that's the reason why the bank boosters was such a big hit when it first came out. People bought it up like crazy. And then you had people me who only went in for free. I was like, I don't care. Got the one free one. I'm done.
And for what it's worth, members, if you guys have not, you can still head into the store and claim a free bank booster.
Yay.
All right. So, let's see. Is there anything else that I need to mention regarding this? I don't think so. In general, it's a pretty simple update, and it's always nice to get more loyalty points. Do you have any specific questions pertaining to this at all?
No, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Play the game, save up, spend it. How many loyalty points do you have now? Or did you spend it all already?
160,000, give or take.
Let's see how much I have. I have... Is the shield icon the loyalty points or is it the coin one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got 231,000.
Oh, so you can purchase a bank booster then.
Huh. When did I get so much?
That's what happens when you get discouraged from the knockout aura.
Touché.
Yep.
Jerk.
All right. So I think that's it for that update. Let's just move on to the tweaks and fixes now that came out this week. Some of the things that came out this week were the Virago's green bomb rotation, which for anybody who's been listening to this for a while will know that we're not exactly the PVM type here. So we don't exactly have the details on what this means. But I am hoping that this would make it harder. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. Also, buff timers for potion effects and abilities. Have you seen any of these?
Haven't used any, but I kind of, well, I kind of think they're semi-useless, in my opinion. Because potions kind of took the giant dip to nowhere. Potions aren't that good as they used to be.
Well, it's only on select potions.
Yeah, but, you know, all potions kind of degrade over time, and so you're not really... It's not like, oh, you have 5 minutes of max extra strength power. It decreases over time.
Yeah, the only potions it pops up for is Overload, Prayer Renewal, and Anti-Dragon Fire potions. So there's those. Wait. Also for combo attacks, some healing abilities, and stun and bind also have a countdown. So that's good too.
Yeah, so you can actually see if you're binded and whatnot. The Dragon Anti-Fire one is good, but you know, Overlord, it decreases over time, so it's not like you stay maxed out there on the entire duration of the potion.
No. Overlord. Overload actually stays, keeps all your levels the same for 5 minutes.
Maybe it was a good thing. Maybe I misread it. Okay.
Which is entirely possible given your history.
Don't remind me. It's been a long day.
Okay. Also, Battle of Umbridge, tier 3 rewards are now available. So if you have lots of little credits there, you can go spend them. I personally am getting discouraged with that thing.
I haven't really gone in there anyway, so meh.
Oh, okay. All right, so tweaks and fixes. You want to go first?
Tweaks and fixes. Okay. Tweaks and fixes. Split private chat now works as expected. Well, geez, maybe you should make sure it works the first time you released it.
What was broken with it?
I think the kind of issue with color. That was me anyway, and some people couldn't have a hard time figuring out where to do to split the chat.
Okay.
And were trying to private message other players while the tab with the tab menu will now once again display the name of the other player in the chat, which was good.
Oh yeah, I noticed that. All right. Anything else?
Medics in the Battle of Lumbridge will now put more effect into healing. Gee, maybe they should do what their names expect us to do.
Medic!
Oh, wait, that was bad. All right, your turn, Shane.
All right. So aside from the obvious good changes to the chat, those were welcome to me as well. Players clicking through the tabs on the chat interface will no longer click through when having the click-through window thing set. So basically what was happening before is that if you clicked a chat tab, you would end up clicking right through it, and that was very annoying. So that's been fixed. Also, something that's been a long-standing issue ever since it came out, the XP counter ring, you know, that thing that appears at the top of your screen if you have it turned on, it's now accurate when you're over 50% progress, which it was not accurate for a very, very, very long time. So that's good. I'm happy about that one. And also the life point boost awarded by lighting bonfire logs now scales correctly with the new Evolution of Combat life point values. So way to go.
Yay.
All right. So moving on from that, this week we got the battle update. Not much to say on this week. Except that Sarah Doman's lead has increased to 29.3 million, which is up about 3 million from last week, if I remember correctly. Also, whenever you're down there collecting tiers and whatnot, just make sure to vote for the special unit of the week or the special effect. So you have until Sunday, late Sunday, to do that. And also, the Duke's Dilemma. Last week, the option chosen was to do train the guard dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Which one did we vote for?
I voted for none.
Okay. I think I might have voted for...
Spiders? I think you did spiders.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Zamorakian troops are arachnophobic.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyways, I voted no. I voted no because when you're fighting against people... Demigod, it's like, yeah, a guard dog isn't going to do jack to scare them.
Yep, that's right. So this week, we're down to only 5,000 favor or treasury remaining. So there's only two options that can actually be chosen this week, with this week's dilemma being to what to do with all the bodies that have been piling up. Because, you know, basically there's been so many people dying there that the graveyard south of Lumbridge is becoming over full. So the two choices that we can vote in with the 5,000 treasury we have is to expand it with a mass grave or inter the bodies in the catacombs.
I think I decided to shove into the catacombs.
Yeah, me too. But it's also worth noting that if we did have the treasury, 15,000... we could have expanded with a mass grave and bring a priest in to bless it.
Well, isn't that what Father Lawrence is for in Varrock?
You figure these guys could do it on their own because.
I mean, we do have the hermit priest up there in the swamp.
Oh yeah! Right. Okay. And also the best option, which of course we can't even remotely afford for 25,000, would have been to expand with additional grave plots. So,
actually, I think I still have money left. I think I still have money left.
Well, no, that thing is public. It's basically, it's a group choice. So whatever the group chooses, that's the treasury that's lost.
Hmm.
Yeah. You didn't know that.
Yeah, I wasn't really caring.
All right. So, this week on the Squeal of Fortune, we got the Golden Chinchampa. Yes, the thing that likes to eat. You were telling me about yours.
It's still not hungry.
Yeah, it takes 30 minutes per cycle. But basically what the golden chinchampa is, it's a little pet. It starts out as a baby pet, and then you have to feed it up all the way to the fully grown one. We both got one, and you get the food either through various skilling methods or through the squeal of fortune. And basically what you do is when you feed it, it'll grow up a tick, and then at each tick it will give you a bit of GP, and then at the end it will give you a rare item or a not-so-rare item based on your skill total. So the idea is that you can spin the squeal of fortune, get the food, raise this thing, and then get GP from it. So in a way, it's a pet that makes money, which is something that really hasn't been done before, but is an interesting idea both from the game point of view in terms of the money and the squeal of fortune kind of view, integrating such a thing like a pet. So I don't know. What do you think about this whole scheme?
I should really complain because I did get a baby chinchampa earlier today and got some food in my bank ready to go. But I kind of feel it's kind of like you're kind of giving more money out. We're becoming Oprah. Here's some gold.
What?
Here's some gold. Here's some gold. Everybody gets gold.
Well, you know, I mean, why not just double the amount of spins that have GP on them on the Squeal of Fortune? I mean, it's faster, and I mean, the only, let's be real here, the only thing they're trying to do with this is to generate more spins in order to try and get people to raise the chinchampa to just get the pleasure of doing it and maybe have some GP along the way. And, you know, I honestly don't think that raising a chinchampa is the best way of earning GP in this game.
I think it's really more for you know, newer members just to have a pet. So remember, we got to do the quest in order to get the cat.
Right.
Your other pet is basically, you know, it takes forever to get. It's a small pet for those low level people.
Yeah, and I got some nice money along the way. But, I mean, what if you have absolutely terrible luck on the Squeal of Fortune and you don't get the food all the way through this? Because this thing's been going on for 2 days already, and I just got my first food pack today.
Well, you're supposed to be able to get the food from skilling.
Yeah, but in like one chunk at a time. I mean, I just chopped a tree and I got one lard nugget. And, you know, one piece of food isn't enough to feed the thing. So you'd have to be doing it for quite some time in order to actually get a decent amount.
I think it's one of those things, try to teach kids to remember to feed your pet and not forget, or else they'll die and not give you love and compassion. Lots of licks to your face.
Cats run away if you don't feed them. So
yeah, but cats never cared about the owners anyway.
Yeah, and they didn't generate GP for you. Anyways. Baby chinchampas need 5 food per feeding, young chinchampas 10, and adult chinchampas at 20, and you need 40 total feeds, then 20, then 8, in order for it to become on the next stage, so 200 food each time, 600 food total, and then after you grow it to the top, it'll finally explodes. And then you'll receive some gold and a chinchampa gravestone and 2 to 3 items from the drop table. And apparently you can get rare items as well. But some of the more common ones include like herbs like dwarfweed, torstal, lantatini, rune plate body, dragon stones, the higher skill totals, and then medium range, lower level herbs and gems and adamant plate bodies and whatnot. So I mean, it's a good way to get a couple of these things, but I wouldn't put too much faith in this. And, you know, I just wish that this Squeal of Fortune promotion would have been a little bit more simpler and then allowing, say, just to get this chinchampa and either keep it as a pet or turn it in for GP, not necessarily having to take it through three stages with 600 pieces of food.
Okay, I got some spinning to do. Guess I'll be doing those challenges.
Yeah, you do. And you can get them from all the skills, except for divination, it seems, and combat skills. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Do your citadel.
Oh, and for anybody who hasn't looked at it, just have a look at the news posting and you can see how they try to make this thing look cute. It's the golden Chinchampa with little teeth and then GP sitting around it.
It's not cute.
Yeah, it's going to explode.
Yeah.
It's going to explode. Surprising people haven't gone on Jagex yet for animal cruelty. Trying to throw little animals and have them explode.
they're too stuck on Pokemon.
What?
Yeah, a lot of animal activists think Pokemon is bad for animals, because we're teaching them to fight with other animals and to win money and all that stuff.
I see. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
Which you know, if you actually think about it, we actually take care of Pokemon a lot better than some of our own pets.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing that people always used to do in my time when I was younger, is that Pokemon taking care of them through those mini little Pikachu things and whatnot actually became a thing where they could, like, die. So, you're right about that. Anyways, moving on from that, I just didn't like the Squeal update. Above the Lore, a new episode of that is out, so you can grab it on their iTunes page. And this week, it's featuring Mod Mark. So it's talking about designing RuneScape and maybe even some sneak peeks about what's coming in the future. So this is definitely one to listen to. Link can be found in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, now, behind-the-scenes video for next week. I have a feeling you're going to be doing a lot of talking in next week's show.
Gee, why do you say that, Shane?
Because it's the Damonheim task set.
Oh, man.
And I want nothing to do with that when it comes out.
You never do.
I know, because it's Dungeoneering.
And you never do.
I just don't.
You never do.
The skill and the whole, how it's so segmented from the rest of RS and everything. And I don't know, I just find it annoying working with people. That's why I don't like Dungeoneering. But anyways.
You hate working with everybody.
Well, not everyone. I mean, I can work in teams and whatnot. But, I mean, just with Dungeoneering, trying to get random groups together has always been annoying. But anyways, that's beside the point. So there's going to be a task set for this. Items ranging from cosmetic little things to combat XP rewards, extended resource dungeons. So definitely going to be some interesting rewards in here. If you do have the Dungeoneering levels to do it. And they said that you won't need a maxed out Dungeoneering level. You won't need all the way to 99, but you'll need pretty close to it.
Yay. So for and once, I can actually, for once, I may be able to actually be able to complete a task set. I've been lazy.
Yeah, so this one could actually probably be yours then.
Actually, no. Odds are I probably need 99 smithing to do something.
Well, no, remember you got the those new portents of passage whatever?
They help you with passage, not with build making stuff.
Yeah, but what if there's something where you need to open a specific door?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think one of them is supposed to be kill a boss with like 1 HP or something.
Yeah, that's that one boss that takes you down to 1 life point.
Which one is that one? Oh, I think I know that one. I think that's Necro Boss one.
I don't know. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see what the rewards are going to be in full when they come out with it. So, there's one other thing that they mentioned that's going to be happening with this. There's going to be a hard mode added to Dungeoneering. So basically, there's a random number generator for what level the NPCs will be. And this one will basically make it the maximum level of each one. So
I want to try that. That sounds epic.
Yeah, that would be. So, also, if you complete each floor, all the way to floor 60 on hard mode, you get a title called of Daemonheim. So, I don't know. Have you unlocked all the way to that floor?
No, 60 is 120. That's max.
What level are you?
103, 104, I think.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this when it comes out. So.
Okay. And what's that one other little thing? I was watching the videos. Interesting. Supposedly, it could be harder puzzles in hard mode. I think one of them is going to be a lot of the puzzle rooms. We got to figure out how to do it without getting hurt or whatnot.
Well, I guess if you do that over time, it becomes easy to do. So.
I see a lot of people dying trying to get that one HP boss to die. Okay.
All right. So let's move on to questions then. We got two audio questions this week. The first one is from RRman100.
Hey guys, RRman here again. I'm currently doing my second Super September Challenge, which is easily enough 200 Divine Tears. Very easy. Is it just me, or do you think that these challenges are going to be easy the whole way along? That's my idea, but maybe they will get harder as we go. And our second question is, I don't know much about copyright laws, but these rewards are a bit suspicious. They've got superhero shield, which is obviously Captain America's shield, and then I've got some claws, I think, which I'm guessing they look like Wolverine claws. I haven't actually looked at them yet, but I saw the shield, and that's very familiar. Is there any way that Jagex could get in trouble for this? Because it's very similar. I'm not really sure how it works. Have a good one, guys. Peace out.
Okay, so the answer to the second part first, is it wrong? No, it's actually perfectly legal because you're technically doing a parody. You're not copying it over. That's why we have Picard in the game, and we don't get it. Whenever Jack is not getting sued by a Paramount. Still waiting for my Wookiee, though, Shane. I want my Wookiee. Come on, Picard and Wookiee going down the street.
No.
I can't do it.
All right. Yeah, so that's the same thing I was thinking, that it's parody, so it's probably fine like that. And it's not as though they're marketing a total skill on the Superman skill or Captain America skill or something like that. So I think that's why there's no reason to be worried about it. And as for the first one, you think these challenges will get harder?
Maybe a little bit. There's a costume thing. I don't think they're going to make it super difficult for low level people to do it. I think it's going to keep it relatively decent. I mean, look at the last couple ones we've done so far.
Yeah, hardest, run and touch the wilderness fence.
In theory, that so far has been quote unquote the hardest one because you can actually die in that one.
Yep. When we were doing it, we actually saw some people being chased and getting killed. So that would definitely be a hard one. Today's challenge is to talk to 10 notable people in RuneScape, so kings, queens, signatures, heroes, those sorts of people. So that's not too bad. The banana ones was simple. Relatively simple. I don't think we're going to see them be too hard. Train 15 skills in a day. You just need to get 1 XP for those. So
for that one, I did Jack of All Trades.
Yeah, what is Jack of Trades? Isn't that 7 or
10?
Okay. Yeah, so for people that do the Jack of Trades, or same thing. So nothing really to worry about, I don't think. I think where we'd start seeing issues is if more of them became combat related, but at the same time, keeping in the idea in the head is that they want to use this as a way to promote the loyalty system. They'll want to keep this as open as possible to new and old members. And in order to do that, you could put a low to medium level requirement on it. So. All right. Okay. Thank you for that one. This next question, the questionnaire is going to remain undisclosed. If anybody does manage to guess who it is, you can post it in the topic and we'll see if you're right.
Well, hello, Shane. It's a long, long time since I've heard that voice. And it just occurred to me that you can probably hear. My washing machine is running in the background. Okay, what do I want to ask you? I've not played RuneScape in 4 years. What, in your opinion, is the most significant update to the game in that time? And do you think it's impacted the game and, furthermore, the community for better or for worse? I know you got a problem with that one. I hope you guys don't talk about Star Trek as much on this thing as you used to, because if so, I'm not listening. Okay, bye.
Well, we already did mention that kind of today, didn't we?
What, the Picard and Wookiee?
Yes.
The Wookiee. Why do you have it against Wookiee, man?
Oh, God.
It's a Wookiee!
No. Looks like a freaking overgrown ape.
And you're anyways. Okay with snake people?
Yes.
You're cold-blooded, Shane.
All right. Biggest update in the last 4 years.
You go first.
Oh.
No, host okay. First.
Evolution of combat.
Mm.
I'd say that's the biggest at this stage.
Mm.
For
better or for worse?
Well, for better in my view. For worse, obviously. And some people's others, I'd say the vocal minority of people say it's for worse. But I think the silent majority would think it's for the better. The evolution of combat revolutionized game mechanics and made combat, quests, boss fighting, everything interesting once again. Because if you think about it, ever since RS2 was released, the combat system was the same. You would click, attack, wait, eat food if you got to low health, maybe throw in a special attack here and there. Not really that strenuous. Basically, you just sit there and be bored. And, you know, that's one of the things that I said when this thing came out last year, is that this is one of the reasons why I find combat in Slayer, in general, very boring. It's just because it was so monotonous. And now you can actually use your skill in your head and your finger motions to finish off a creature quickly compared to somebody who is not doing that. Just using momentum. You know there how fast combat is with dual wielding and dual wielding AoE, how you can just knock Slayer monsters down in like record numbers. So it's drastically improved combat in my view, and how much experience you can get per hour doing that. And it was for the better, just because it took the game from a level of 2004 and prior, before any other major MMOs happened, and brought it up to what has become the gold standard for MMOs with the traditional classic RuneScape touch.
Hmm.
And I still maintain that the negative viewpoints from the evolution of combat that people have, which are unsubstantiated and wrong in my view, are due to the fact that the beta process for the evolution of combat was not managed as effectively as it could have been. It could have been a much tighter beta, resulting in much better feedback and a better product being delivered when it shipped. And that if they would have had more dedicated testers and perhaps the closed beta with people who are actually doing combat and not just general people playing the game, it's a very good chance that some of these changes that we saw early in this year and later after EOC came out last year could have been avoided and brought into the actual game. So I think there was a bit of a mismanagement on Jagex's part with the way the beta was carried out. But regardless, it is for the better. And the people who say otherwise are just plain wrong.
Okay.
Because they don't, perhaps they don't understand it or something like that.
No, they're lazy.
As an example, last year when Evolution of Combat came out, we scheduled an RSBNB update focus to discuss and have a debate about EOC versus Classic Combat. And the person who was supposed to be supporting Classic Combat didn't show up and didn't message. So, I mean, it was kind of odd that it worked like that, but I think it comes to a point of not being able to adequately defend that position. So that's where I think that's kind of coming from. Anyways, okay. Your turn. I think you're going to say the Runespan, if I know you right.
No, I was going to say Runespan. I say in the very beginning, getting rid of the limits in GE.
Oh, yeah. I guess that counts.
Because, in my point of view, it opened a lot of floodgates for parties to manipulate the thing and everything else, but that was just me. I still believe that most people who voted on that were just people who wanted to bot on it and make like 700,000 accounts. But that's just me.
Yeah, that could be true as well. Another thing that has really changed the way the game works and has reduced bots down quite a bit now that bots have been brought up is the bot watch measures that have been put into game as of last year. And basically now there's automated bot detection for things like GE spamming and conventional bots that you might see there is. So all Jagex needs to do now in their bot hunt is to target a specific area, whether it be Blue Dragons or Revenants or somewhere else, and then their system will watch it and then make bots disappear, and then mm-hmm. people can actually go watch the trials, and you can actually see how many bots are going in. Yeah, the golden pitchfork. But you do need to go to a relatively busy world nowadays in order to see that happening.
Yay.
All right. And, okay. I think this November, after a year of Evolution of Combat, I think we need to get somebody in on the no side and somebody in on the yes side to defend both of these.
Oh, that basically means get somebody from old school and see and have to come up here. What you're not going to do.
Well, not necessarily old school, just someone from previously. But we'll talk about that once we get closer to November. All right, you can read the next one.
This question is from Parnassius. Hi, Shane and Tricky. Hope you're both enjoying the Super September update. My question for you this week is, do you think there are too many costumes and emotes being added to the game lately? I feel the amounts that are coming in is causing them to be cheapened and not as sought after as they could be. I am not generally one for costume, but I'm actively chasing the current one, since I do love the superhero theme. However, with all the S Squeal of Fortune and Solomon ones, I get lost in the mix. Maybe it's just me, but I don't see the amount of people wearing their special costumes anymore. Like they did a few years back. On that note, what is your favorite outfit in the game? Thanks for taking time to read. Happy RuneScaping all.
Alright. So?
Well, I think... I don't think it's getting cheap. And, they're emotes. They just get to do more stuff. I mean, really think about it. Don't really pay attention to the emote unless it's a skill cape.
That is true. That is very true. But and so costumes,
you know, I never gave a crap about costumes anyway. You know it, I know it. I kind of never really cared about any of the Squeal of Fortune costumes that they've had. I just
ghostly robes for so long.
Yes. Still do if I get the chance.
Okay. So basically, you don't think costumes have become overboard and whatnot?
I mean, I don't know. I think the only time, I mean, if you think about it, I think the issue with emotes is that you can't really, you know how many other times you can use them to kind of make a little mini party with them in the other games? Can't really do that here.
What do you mean?
Well, it's not like you can, even with the camera thing in the game, it's not like you're going to zoom right in and see the mouse move, the hand move, and you start a little game movie in it. Doesn't work with this game very well.
Okay.
But yeah, other games can work out, but you know, I think the issue, you know, it's also one of those, you gotta go around and click on each one, which is kind of annoying, but I guess the same with one of our other games that we play, Shane, but it's, I don't really care for it. I mean, I don't think it's cheapened, because most people don't even pay attention to it anyway.
Yeah, exactly, and my idea on this is kind of the same, that I really don't pay attention to them, and I mean, because it's so hard to tell nowadays whether someone's actually wearing that item or if it's a cosmetic override. So that's part of the reason I don't care about them being added to the game. And you are right. There are so many of them now that it's hard to keep track of between the loyalty items and the Solomon General Store items. I mean, yesterday I was looking through the customization interface and was seeing exactly how many of them exist now. So, I definitely agree with you on that point. And as for me, I only usually go for costumes if I like the way they look, and if they're green or something like that, or perhaps related to farming. So. Okay. Favorite outfit?
God. The superhero costume looks interesting, but that's not me. I think I look goofy in it.
Yes, you would.
Actually, I do look goofy in it. I look like I have slanted eyeballs. Yes, I know. I went there, Shane.
Okay. So, well, what's your favorite outfit that you wear? I mean, you must have one that you're constantly wearing.
I still love my ghostly outfit.
Okay. Well,
actually, funny enough, a while ago, I actually was meeting a friend in Dungeoneering because he wanted me to show him how to do it properly, and I decided to just play, have a little fun. I wore a full ghostly robe. He can't even see me. And so I saw him run past me. I was like, where the hell is he? Runs past me again. Runs back. Where are you? I'm here. I PM'd him. I didn't type it in local. I'm like, where are you? I see your green dot, but I can't see you. Look closer. Holy cow! You disappeared! I was like, that was the whole point.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My favorite costume, I might actually bring it back. I was thinking about it, using a cosmetic override for it, so I can wear my Agile set, it's what I used to wear, the green elegant shirt, and just whatever default pants that I have with the black cap or a beret sometimes, depending on it. So I was thinking about bringing that back. The only downside is that I don't have the untrimmed farming cape to go around it. I really wish I could get that back. So... that has to be my most favorite outfit of all time on RS. And, I mean, we rotated around between the Ringmaster outfit and then just Agile, because for a while when the Agile outfit came out, it was a status symbol that you were crazy enough to have level 85 plus agility, and, you know, I was that crazy, so I kind of wanted to show that off. And threw the farming cape on with that. And that's what I've been wearing for the last couple of years. But I think it's definitely time for a change up soon. So nice to see this question, because I was actually looking at outfits this week. And, you know, most of the new ones I just find are too gaudy. They're too big. So might just go back to the old classic. Anyways, thank you, Parnassius. All right, next one is from Veteran. Hey, hosts, just wondering if you would ever consider making a mobile app for RuneWire. If so, how much do you think that would cost? Semi-RS-related question. What do you think of Jagex using another meme in RuneScape, worse to promote a squeal item? Thanks, veteran. All right, so let's do the meme one first. What meme is this?
What meme is this?
Yeah, meme promoting a squeal item. I mean, I didn't see this on the news posting, and I assume this is about the golden chinchampa. I didn't see anything about this. Oh, what is it? It's a meme about the cat. The sad cat, the cute-looking cat.
Okay.
That's what this image is. I see what you mean, veteran. I got it. I just can't put a face to the meme. I mean, a name to the meme. I definitely know what you mean about this. And I guess if it grabs people's attention, that's fine. But like I said, I really don't agree with this Squeal of Fortune update this week. So it's nice to see Jagex adapting something like this to go for maybe some fun factor or something. But I don't know. I think it looks nice, but I don't think it's a good way of earning sales on it. So.
Okay.
What do you have any thoughts on that?
Nah, I mean, shoes. Particularly, it's public domain, man.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out what meme it is. I've seen something like it before, but I can't
meme.
Pull it up in my head. Yeah.
What? Mem? Like, meme?
Yes, the golden chinchampa. It's reminiscent of a meme, but I don't know which one. Somebody, if you're listening to this and you know which one it is, post it in the forum discussion, rsbnb.com/forums, please. And thank you. Anyways, a RuneWire application. That is not in our immediate outlook for what we are planning to do with that. So I could talk about how much it would cost, but that would just be something that wouldn't really make sense to do at this point. The main reason we don't see a point in making a mobile application for RuneWire is because right now, RuneScape is the game that is able to be played on your desktop computers only. If you could play it on a tablet or a phone, that would definitely change things of needing an application for this. So we're not completely against the idea, but we'd need to see some sort of mobile support for the RuneScape game or some sort of limited RuneScape game before putting that much time into it. But I'd say watch the first half of 2014 for some interesting things to happen with RuneWire.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to do some very interesting things with it. So, watch it. Anyways. Oh, and the question, my favorite model for applications on iOS, unless they require users' complete attention, is to go free and have an in-application ad with the ability to pay to turn it off. So, that's probably what we would do if that was the case. But, like I said, it's not on the radar currently. All right, last question, please.
Last question. All righty. This last question from Flash. Dear Shane and Tricky, how much sleep do you guys get at night? Personally, when I don't have school, I generally sleep about 8 hours. For some reason, I can't sleep more than or less than that, which I find pretty strange. I don't mind though, since 8 hours is recommended. However, doing school, you should get like around 6 hours of sleep because I either doing homework, don't want to get up too early, get to bed too early. How about you, Flash? From what I know, Shane likes to sleep to the wee hours of 3 p.m.
No, not that late, but
close enough.
I can go on 6 hours. I find my optimal is somewhere between anywhere between 6 and 8 usually. anything before 6 and start to feel different at about 5.5, give or take. And really strange things start happening at under 4. So. I'd like to be able to go on 4, but 6 is it would have to be a happy minimum.
Usually I sleep around, I guess 6.5. Because I get up at 6 in the morning, get to work. And so usually I go to bed around 11:30-ish, and I'm good. I got used to it. My body's used to it. Even on days where I don't have to work, my brain still wakes me up at that time because I can't fall back asleep. I'm just tossing and turning.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Then I basically just, I don't know, tell myself, you know the old saying, Shane, where when you're young, you can say like, I don't have to get up for another 8 hours or so, or 3 hours or whatever. As you get older, I find myself telling myself, if I can fall asleep right now, I can sleep for 2 hours. If I fall asleep right now, I can sleep for another hour. If I fall asleep right now, I can sleep for another 10 minutes. Ah, hell, it's time to get up.
No, I don't do that. When it's time to get up, it's time to get up.
That also means you,
What?
Nothing.
All right. Nothing, anyways, nothing. Thank you for that question, Flash. And just a reminder, if you want to send in audio questions, you can do that. Send the question in, email it to questions@rsbnb.com. Or you can leave a voicemail on Skype, just have the username rsbnbupdate. Or our least used method is to leave us a voicemail on the Google Voice number, which you can phone in to 571-572-2632. Once again, 571-572-2632. And that is an American number. So if you're in the U.S., that'll probably work for you. But if you're outside the U.S., you could probably incur some steep long-distance fees. So probably best to choose one of the other options in that case. And we also have text questions available to be posted on the forums. Those go up on Monday most of the time, unless one of us forgets to do that. But most times they are up on Monday. So, yeah. Lots of ways to send questions in. All right. Let's move on to tech news, shall we?
Okay, what do you have for us this week, Shane?
Well, it's an interesting week for Microsoft, let's say that much, at the moment. Microsoft bought Nokia.
Yeah, I know.
The devices and services business. So, you know that Nokia is the king of dumb phones, right? And they have a pretty decent market share in Europe and whatnot. You don't really hear about them anymore in North America. So, I mean, this is invigorating Nokia as much as it is for Microsoft. Because Microsoft does not have an in-house smartphone maker. Google has Motorola and Apple has themselves to make their hardware. So it's good that they have this now. And it could maybe give Windows Phone OS a fighting chance, but we'll see about that. Hard to say. Another thing that was floated around was that Nokia's CEO could be in running to become the new Microsoft CEO, which would be very interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be a complete fundamental shift of the way Microsoft works. So, I thought you were going to say something there. That's why I kind of stopped, but you have anything?
Never know. Okay. I don't know. I think it's also because you know how Nokia started with the whole Windows 8 thing on the phone?
Yeah, the Lumia.
Yeah, and so I think that's what they're kind of doing. It's like, you know, if we buy this, we may save more money and we can actually, you don't have to worry about contracts and anything else. It's like, just release it on the phone.
Be able to impose tighter control on that. So that's for sure.
And I don't know, maybe they're, you know what I'm actually kind of hoping though is that they may, you know, start connecting Nokia phones with their Xbox and whatnot. I think that would be an interesting combination.
Yeah, see? Now you see why this whole thing gets more interesting now that Microsoft owns them. Because Microsoft needs a way to integrate mobile devices into the Xbox, the Windows Store, the Windows operating system, their online services. And if they can do that in a condensed platform that they control, they'll be one step up on Android. Because if you think about it, the Android phones only have one or two flagship models, and the rest of them are like little modified things which are unpleasant to use. So,
you hate Android anyway.
No, I don't actually.
Why do you always try to convert me to go with iPhone then?
Because you're always complaining about your Android.
Shane, I complain about like not getting Android phone I want.
Well, get one that you want then.
I'm waiting for them to release one.
Okay. Anyways,
every single time I bring it up, you have to say, get an iPhone, get an iPhone, get an iPhone, get an iPhone, get an iPhone.
You done?
Get an iPhone.
Okay. So there was an interesting graphic that appeared this week on Twitter. 52% Android OS, 40% iOS, Windows Phone 2%, BlackBerry 3%, and others 2%. So Windows Phone, 2% of the market, bought Nokia, which had 1.2% of the smartphone market in total. So it's a play of smaller players, and they're going to really need to work if they want to increase that to combat Apple and Android at this time, I think. But
you know, it's also what I also said before about when they were releasing the Windows tablet a while back. Remember how I said, like, you know, people who been here in the market for so long, they already have an iPad and they can't afford the iPad, they kind of go with, you know, whatever Android tablet they have. So again, what Microsoft really needs to do is figure out what do people want that Android and Apple are not providing, and try to fill that niche.
Yes.
And if they can do that, then you have a market base. And when you have that market base, then you can start spreading out. Because remember, like, you know, people, you know, there's about, as I can see, there's about five types of consumers. There's the early innovator, which is basically like, oh, it's coming out new, I'm using it. And let's see. I spent so long, I can't remember what the other five, what the four were. But basically, the whole idea is that you try to get the ones who are early innovators because they're the ones who are going to sell your product. And basically,
most of those now are gobbled up by Apple and Android, the early folks.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to get those somehow, I think. But well, like I said, definitely going to be interesting.
Well, you know how there's a joke on the internet how you can basically throw a Nokia phone against the wall and it'll probably break the wall and everything else.
Yeah.
They should try and make an indestructible tablet and sell it for relatively cheap and see how that goes. I would love to see Microsoft try and do that. That would be hilarious. Maybe someone will try to blend it and it doesn't work.
They did that already with the iPhone. But
not the iPhone.
Anyways.
The new tablet thing they might release.
I think we've covered that enough. The next thing is that we have a an Xbox One release date. And that is November 22nd in North America and the UK and 13 other territories. So
in other words, right before our Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right before that and primed right for the holiday season. Australia, Austria, Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, New Zealand, Spain, the UK, and the USA. And it's also the same day that the Xbox 360 launched in 2005.
Mm. Go figure.
So, yeah, consoles are old. It's about time we start seeing the new ones. And also, the CPU has been boosted from 1.6 to 1.75 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last piece of tech news. Android KitKat. See? We cover Android here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
KitKat.
Yeah, the next version of Android 4.4 was supposed to be named Key Lime Pie, but they changed the name to KitKat, which is a registered trademark, actually. And this is actually a partnership with the KitKat people. So, basically, what happens is now, if you go out to a store and you purchase a KitKat, you get entered to win either a Nexus 7 or some Google Play Store credit in the anticipation of the Android KitKat release. There's no release date yet, but you can go to android.com/KitKat and sign up to get more info when it'll come out. And the teaser for KitKat is, it's our goal with Android KitKat to make an amazing Android experience available for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely going to be able to see, interesting to see what they're going to be doing with this one. And I think one of the things that they definitely need to do is work on the fit and finish of the OS. It has the core potentials there, but it's just not as polished, for example, as iOS is. So if they can do that with Android, polish it up and show how it runs on nice hardware and a complete integrated solution with a pure Android experience, I'd say Android 4.4 would be a good release, but we'll have to see what the whole strategy of it is. We haven't even seen any demos yet, but yeah. So Android users can have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
You have any thoughts on it?
Why do they always name their stuff after food?
Well, it's named after desserts because, you know, as Tuvok said, desserts are good.
Yeah, but, you know, we started with gingerbread, then we had jelly bean. I was like, me and Mike were discussing about this, about my iPhone, and all of a sudden I was like, who comes up with these names? I don't know. I think we're trying to eat our phones now or something.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. Using Android is supposed to be as good as eating dessert or candy is. So, all right, that's it for tech news. Let's move on to the scale of the month. You want to give us an update?
Okay. Oh God. Oops. Wrong button. Scale of the month. Well, do I really have to say it? Who's still in the lead? Shane 101 Duck 1 is still in the lead.
Oops, this is wrong one. Change the number. We got a little malfunction on the notes. That is August. The link goes to August. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, rewind. Tick 2.
Yes.
Still 10. No, I'm kidding. Huzzloris is number 1 with almost 3 million XP gain in divination.
3.6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what else?
We have Flash in second place for 2.1 million and Soul Lighting at 1.2 million. And we have you, Shane, at less than 400K.
No, I meant 469.
Said less than 5. Oh, sorry. I meant less than 500K. My bad.
Yeah, see, I mean, I'm in this thing, but I'm not in it to win it, clearly. I was going to try for that if we were having a quiet scale of the month, but I don't see the need to strain when the average experience per day of the top person is 700,000 plus. So I don't feel a need to strain about it. But I do have one or two ulterior motives with the skill of the month. So those will be revealed in good time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and we had 26 people on this one, so definitely nice to see people training the new skill. So good job, everyone, all around.
Okay, cool.
All right, and I'd like to remind everybody that since it's a new month, you can read this month's Informer Roundup at informer.rsbnb.com. Read that if you haven't been keeping up with Informer articles and what's been going on around Informer. Lots of good articles this past month, so have a read and see if any of them interest you. So that's at informer.rsbnb.com.
Okay.
All right. Read us our achievement.
Okay, we have one achievement. We have Alta Masayan, who got 99 divination on December 3rd. Congratulations. You win no lifer award of RSBNB.
Well, I don't think you have to be a no lifer to get it in that time, given that people got it in about a week and a day. So I wouldn't call him a no lifer, but definite congratulations is in order for being the first on our RSBNB to achieve level 99 divination. Good job. Well done.
Yes, congratulations, dude.
All right, do you have a pick for the week, or should I go with one?
You go.
All right. Well, this pick is an interesting one. It's can give you a mind or a peek into the way that I think, just to give you a bit of an idea of some of the things that I go through and think of between myself and others when we're thinking of what we can do with various RSBNB things. One of the things that's very important to us is not only making sure that it does something, but it does something that is worthy and you have a positive experience while doing it. And that comes into something called UX design or user experience design. And this is not graphical design, as in laying out how it's going to look or where everything is. It's about figuring out how a person is going to accomplish what you're trying to set up. So just basically take any simple task, such as opening a door. Now, you'll be entering this place and you'll see a door. How do you know if you push or you pull? You take various little cues that have become ingrained over time. So the whole idea behind UX design is, how do you take something more complicated than a door, something on the order of software or something like that, and make it as simple as possible to both new users and old users while taking into account the physical world and the technology you have? And it's merging these two things together that allow you to come up with something good and something that people haven't used before. So this is what makes an application good, in my opinion, and why so many applications that are free software are bad is because they have bad UX. So the website is called uxapprentice.com. Basically, what it allows you to do is it gives you a brief rundown as to how UX works. So, for example, you're going to go through various steps of the UX design process through discovery, strategy, and design. So first, you're going to be looking at things and say, how do we figure out what is needed for this project? So you're going to go through that, learn about that, and then apply it and whatnot and do a little quiz. You can sit down and do all three of them in about an hour. It's definitely a very nice thing to do, and you will learn something along the way, and it will make you more in tune to what is a good website, what is a bad website, what is a good application, what's a bad application. So it's a good resource to have, especially if you're just wanting to get started with these things or at all interested in it. And if you think you already know this, it's a good way of testing yourself. So definitely check it out. It's free, and there's no time limit to complete any of the things on here. So just do it at your own pace.
Okay.
Yeah, so have a look. All right. So what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been doing, actually, had a bunch of Dragon of Stones that actually came in, so I was making those most of the week.
You still making profit?
Heck yeah, of course I am. I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't making money in it. I wouldn't gain anything else from experience-wise, because I've used it all up anyway. Yeah, a little bit of divination, but I didn't level up this week, though. I've been busy with school and work and whatnot. And yeah, that's it.
All right. Any other games or anything like that?
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I got Rome Total War 2, and I can't wait to go and kill me some Carthaginians.
What is that?
It's a strategy game. And,
no, I mean, what are you killing?
Carthaginians.
Which are?
Carthage.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
All right, nothing else?
Well, I managed to get back into Diamond in my 3v3 and 4v4, so StarCraft 2.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, that's a good accomplishment for me. Trying to get back into Platinum in my 1v1, so it's going to take me some time.
Oh, okay.
It was hard.
As for me this week, I just did some Battle of the Lumbridge last night. Need to gain about 10,000 more points in order to unlock all the armor. Then I might go for some of the emotes. We'll see. I just really don't feel much of a motivation to do that aside from the armor, because I mean, it's an emote. What do we need that for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, aside from that, divination training, got level 75. So taking a bit of a break from that, probably going to do the Battle of Lumbridge stuff in the meantime, and then we'll resume back on Divination Skill of the Month. And I do want to go for a top 10 finish or something like that in the Skill of the Month, so I do need to do a bit of work on it. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been up to that's worth mentioning this week. I don't believe we have anything else to say, do we? Yes, no, maybe so.
Well, I want to say this. Some people still haven't messaged me about getting their money. So remember, if you won my competition a couple of weeks back, send me a PM if you listen.
All right.
Peace out.
Well, with that being said, we'll see you guys next week, everybody. And remember to send those questions in, and I'm available on Twitter at Shane12088.
Bye, y'all.